If you have your Bibles in front of you, please turn to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 8 to 20. This is Luke, chapter 2, reading verses 8 to 20. And hear now the word of God. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it has been told them. May God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. I know that probably not many of you follow the Billboard number one song in the United States of America. You know, every year, or every month, and sometimes every week, Billboard will come out with the number one song in the nation of that week. Does anybody know what that number one song is right now? I didn't know either, so I'm not blaming you for that, but the number one song in America right now is "Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree" by Brenda Lee. This was originally released in 1958. 65 years ago, this song was first released. Brenda Lee is now 78 years old, and she's still singing that song all these years. She was 13 when she recorded that song. And, you know, I think the reason that people gravitate to that song is because it's happy. And it reminds people of better days. It reminds people of days when families were together and they had a great time at Christmas. The kids with their bright eyes and everybody looking forward to that. It was just a wonderful time. And it's amazing how people today are going back into those years to sing the same songs and to see the same programs. You know, you can go on YouTube right now and see Andy Williams and the Williams brothers doing their Christmas specials, and you can see all these things that were so much a part of our Christmas back years ago. So, you know, why do people like to sing these songs? It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. There are all these songs that remind us of those Christmases in the past. It's because basically for the last several years we've had some very stressful times at Christmas, and people want nothing more than to put that behind them and to look forward and to be positive about the future. And a great way to do that is to sing these Christmas songs, these Christmas carols that remind us of better times and better days. We want to kind of recapture the joy that we've had in the past. And you know, one way that we can really do that and to improve our spirit, get into the spirit of the time, is through music. Music is very important. That's why radio stations begin playing Christmas songs and Christmas carols some of them start in December 1st, but there's one station that started on November, the first day of November. They started doing Christmas carols and Christmas songs 24 hours a day during that time, and they still do it. So you can turn on the radio and you can hear Christmas music all the time. And again, a lot of times these songs will take us back in time. You know, you hear a certain song, just like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Can you remember the first time you heard that? Probably, you know, some of us were teenagers or even younger, but a great situation. They help us to go back in time to those things. And we enjoy Christmas. We love Christmas. But we all recognize that Christmas has two sides to it. There are two parts of Christmas. You know, there are many that are happy just to see Christmas as a holiday and sing the secular songs and to watch the secular programs, and that's it. I even heard somebody on television say, you know, Christmas is such a wonderful time, we just wish people wouldn't ruin it with all this religious stuff. They want to keep it as a secular holiday. And there are others that enjoy the secular, but they also recognize the holy side of it, the spiritual side of it. You know, as far as a holiday, Christmas has some deep roots, not just here in America, but around the world. It basically has pagan roots, and we all know that. It has pagan roots. It comes from a Roman holiday, Natalis Solis Invicti, which literally means the birth of the invincible sun, and it was celebrated on December the 25th. It incorporated many of the symbols of pagan holidays, like evergreens, like ornaments, like celebrations. These were all part of this pagan holiday called Natalis Solis Invicti. And the truth of the matter is, though, it's not unusual for Christians to take these holidays and to bring them back under the covering of Scripture, under the covering of our Lord and Savior. And, you know, every year we have people that say, well, Jesus was not born on December the 25th. That's just a name that was pulled out of the hat, or a date. And they did that so that they could combat the pagan holidays. And so they wanted to put a religious holiday there. And we know that Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. We celebrate it on December the 25th. But, you know, we're going to see maybe next week, we're going to see that December 25th does have a very real meaning. Because we can, as you trace the birth of Jesus and you trace the coming of the wise men came to where Jesus was and gave him gifts. And the best that they can determine was that happened around December the 25th. One of the reasons why historically that the Christian church has celebrated that date as a celebration of the birth of Christ because of the gifts. But it's not unusual for Christians to take back some of these holidays and give them to the Lord. You know, the first mention of music in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 21. And this is a reference to one of the sons of Cain, and his name was Jubal, from which we get the word jubilant. And Jubal was a master musician. And that's the first reference we have in Scripture, Genesis chapter 4, verse 21, of music in the world, the first mention. Well, the second time we see the mention of music, it has to do with worshiping God. It was incorporated into the worship of the living God. The believers had taken that back and given it to Almighty God. So, you know, we're presented with a challenge, and we're presented with this every year of taking the music and turning it around and giving it back to the Lord in glory and in worship and in praise. You know, the music in Christmas took a very dramatic turn. I think we've spoken about this before, but took a big turn back during World War II. around 1941, we have a number of different songs like I'll Be Home for Christmas, like White Christmas, like other songs that have become our favorites. They're wonderful songs. But during that period of time, it switched from somehow glorifying Jesus as the center of Christmas to an emotional response, you know, of being at home, of family. And this took a dramatic turn. Irving Berlin, when he wrote White Christmas, and it came out in the movie Holiday Inn, and then later the movie White Christmas, this captivated America, touched a nerve in them. And so many of the songs that are popular Christmas songs today are centered around that emotion, the emotion of Christmas. I want to be with my family. I want to enjoy their love and whatever. And it moved away from a spiritual base. But, you know, Christmas also has the other side to it, and that is the holy day. That it's a holy day before the Lord. It's a unique spiritual holiday. All religions in the world have special holy days that they set apart for their own particular purposes. But only Christmas is about giving. And people always say, well, now, wait a minute. Now you've got Hanukkah, and Hanukkah has 12 days of gift giving. But if you look into the gifts that are given during that period of time, they're gifts that are all teaching. It's all for the purpose of instruction. It's not just a free gift coming out of the heart. Christmas is the only holiday where the emphasis is strictly on unselfish giving. Now, and why? Why would that be so? Because that's the day that we celebrate the fact that our Heavenly Father gave the very best that heaven had to offer, completely unselfishly, to all of mankind. And of course, that was the gift of salvation through Jesus our Lord. It was the gift of eternal life that he offered to those that would place their faith and their trust in him. You know, there's a section in the book of Luke right after the portion that we read, and this is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And this is an incident that happened when Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple so that he could be blessed in the temple, so that he'd be consecrated. And while they were there, an individual by the name of Simeon saw them and came up to them. And this is what it says. This is in Luke chapter 2, and I'm reading verses 28 to 32. And it says this: "And he," meaning Simeon, "took him up," Jesus, "up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.'" Simeon had been praying for many years. He was an older man, praying that he would not die until God would show him the Messiah. And God granted that. This was what God gave. This was God's gift, the gift of salvation through Jesus. You know, Christmas is a celebration. It's a time that we celebrate what God has done. And you got to ask yourself this question: all right, who is it that celebrates your birthday? Well, it's not strangers. It's not people that don't like you. Certainly not people that don't love you. It's people around you, people that care about you. They celebrate your birthday. So who celebrates Christmas as a holy day? It's the people that love Jesus, the people that love the Heavenly Father, the people that love his body. They celebrate. And how do they celebrate? Well, when you're at a birthday party, how do you celebrate? Everybody has a long face. No. They celebrate with great joy. They celebrate through loving. They celebrate through giving. And really, they celebrate through singing. What would a birthday be without singing happy birthday? Of course they sing. It's just natural that they would sing. So, you know, that begs the question, and it's there in your title. And I have to share this. This morning, as we were looking, going over some of the hymns and whatever, somebody said, "I'm not sure I know this hymn." And they said, "Well, what hymn is that?" And they said, "Well, it's the hymn, 'Why Do We Sing Christmas Carols?'" I said, actually, that's the title of the sermon here. But it does ask the question, why do we do it? Why do we sing these Christmas carols? I think, first of all, it's because of the example that was given us by the angels. Now, here's something else that was discussed this morning, and I think it's very relevant. Somebody said, you know, I heard somebody say, a preacher say a long time ago, that the angels, it never says that the angels sing. It just said that the angels speak, but they don't sing. And I'm going to look at that this morning. We have the example of what we call the Annunciation. That's when the shepherds are out in the field. This is the passage from our text. The shepherds are out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And all of a sudden, an angel appears. And the angel speaks to them. And then suddenly, with that angel, there's a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Now, if you look at that, that's in verse 13, Luke chapter 2, verse 13. And it says this, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," doesn't say singing, "glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those among whom he is well pleased." So these angels, this multitude of angels, and you know, if you had to peg that with a number, what would you say a multitude would be? Would it be 100? Angels, 500 angels. The word itself in Greek, multitude, is typically translated as 10,000. So when it talks about a multitude of the heavenly hosts, it's going to be somewhere around 10,000. Now that's one description of multitude. Also, the word multitude and the word myriad, two different words that are used in reference to the angels, sometimes are used interchangeably. So what's a myriad? All right, a myriad could be as many as a million angels. A million. In fact, look, if you would, look with me at this passage. This is in Revelation chapter 5, and looking at verses 11 and 12. Revelation chapter 5. And of course, this is the Apostle John who is being given this revelation. And as he sees these things, he's writing them down, these tremendous descriptions. And he says this in verse 11, "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" So he's talking here about myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And probably the best numerical value that we can give that is 100 million. 100 million angels. And so even if we had 10,000 angels telling people, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," or "peace among men with whom he is pleased." Even if we had 10,000 and they were saying those words, "Glory to God," we don't know what the voices of angels sound like, but I have to believe that it would sound like singing. It would sound like singing. when they're around the throne, 100 million angels saying, "Worthy is the Lamb," it's got to sound like singing. If you've ever been in a huge crowd of people and you hear them all saying the same things, it almost sounds musical to them. There's also a passage in Job chapter 38, verses 4 to 7. And this is God asking Job to explain certain things. And he says this. This is Job 38, verses 4 to 7. He said, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone?" And then he says this, "When all the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now the stars in the Old Testament, for the most part, refer to the angelic beings, the stars. It wasn't the planets. It was those individuals in heaven that glorified God. And it talks about them singing. I can't imagine that angels wouldn't sing. It's almost incomprehensible that angels would not sing before the throne of God. See, like the angels, we want to be able to sing for joy. During that annunciation, whether there were 10,000 or 10 million, doesn't matter, however many there were, they were obviously consumed with joy at that point. And there was a reason for that. See, the Bible tells us that that the Lord has mysteries into which even angels long to look. Sometimes we think that angels know everything about God or know exactly what's taking place, and they don't. They are finite beings. They're limited in their knowledge and understanding. And I think that there was probably rumors in heaven, God's getting ready to do something big, but we don't know what it is. How's he going to do this? How's God going to bring salvation to men on earth? And when they came to announce that a son has been born, that God in the flesh has been presented to men, has been brought to men, I think it was just overwhelming to them. And when they sang glory to God in the highest, it was with exultation. They were so excited about it. It was their response to God's plan of salvation for us. You know, I think that Isaiah gives us a little glimpse into that. This is found in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 12. This is the response. It says this, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." He's talking about when God makes his will known, when God brings about salvation to men, there's going to be such exultation that even God's creation won't be able to withstand it. When Jesus was walking into Jerusalem for the last time in his holy entrance, Palm Sunday, we call it, there were people screaming out and crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and the Jews said, "You need to stop these people. You need to shut them up because they're causing a real problem and a distraction." And Jesus said, "If I tell them to stop, the very stones will cry out." You see, and that's why I believe that when the announcement was made that God has sent his son, the angels themselves couldn't contain their joy. They just exploded in joy. We see, that's what inspires us when Christmas comes and we stop and think about what God has done, the fact that this little baby born of a virgin would come and be our Savior it should just inspire tremendous joy in us. The first Christmas carol on record was sung in the 4th century, that long ago. And since then, it's been expanded, but we continue to sing his praises. And I have to tell you, one of the great things about Christmas is the opportunity to hear Christmas carols like Joy to the World. It's so exciting. Goes back many years. Goes all the way back to the Annunciation, the angels with the shepherds, and it goes back even way before that. You know, the Christmas carols that we sing today, we're going to sing one in just a moment, they not only remind us of the reason that we celebrate Christmas, but they also give us the opportunity to praise God for what he has done, to lift up his name, to thank him for his gift of salvation, which no one could purchase, given through the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why do we sing Christmas carols? It's a response of joy. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we thank you so much to have the opportunity to proclaim your glory, to sing of your great works, and to thank you, especially at Christmas time, for the gift that you've given us above every gift. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts and give us great joy now as we sing. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand now and turn to number 227, Angels We Have Heard on High. 227. Sing it out.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.